Today on Commuter Bible, the kings and kingdoms of the land grow increasingly chaotic and tumultuous. But in the midst of the chaos, the Lord continues to work and speak through his prophet Elisha. Today's episode contains some particularly gruesome imagery, especially for children. Parental discretion is advised. It's 2 Kings, chapters 5 through 7, and Psalm 99. This is Commuter Bible, the audio Bible podcast to match your weekly schedule. I'm your host, John Ross. On today's episode, an Aramean army commander comes to Elisha to be healed. But when Elisha doesn't give him the respect he thinks he deserves, he almost rejects the offer out of hand. Later, the Arameans try to capture Elisha, but he defuses them with hospitality. Not long after, the Arameans lay siege to Israel, surrounding Samaria in order to cause a famine, and the people take desperate measures. The king of Israel becomes enraged and sends for Elisha that he might kill him. When the messenger arrives, Elisha declares that a miraculous turn of events is just a day away. Second Kings, chapters 5 through 7. Naaman, commander of the army for the king of Aram, was a man important to his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was a valiant warrior, but he had a skin disease. Aram had gone on raids and brought back from the land of Israel a young girl who served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." So Naaman went and told his master what the girl from the land of Israel had said. Therefore, the king of Aram said, "Go, and I will send a letter with you to the king of Israel." So he went and took with him 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, and it read, "When this letter comes to you, note that I have sent you my servant Naaman for you to cure him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and asked, "Am I God, killing and giving life, that this man expects me to cure a man of his skin disease? Recognize that he is only picking a fight with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Have him come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Then Elisha sent him a messenger who said, "Go wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your skin will be restored, and you will be clean." But Naaman got angry and left, saying, "I was telling myself, he will surely come out, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the skin disease. Aren't Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and left in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more should you do it when he only tells you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So Naaman went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, according to the command of the man of God. Then his skin was restored and became like the skin of a small boy, and he was clean. Then Naaman and his whole company went back to the man of God, stood before him, and declared, "I know there's no God in the whole world except in Israel. Therefore, please accept a gift from your servant." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, in whose presence I stand, I will not accept it." Naaman urged him to accept it, but he refused. Naaman responded, "If not, please let your servant be given as much soil as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will no longer offer a burnt offering or a sacrifice to any other god but the Lord. However, in a particular matter, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master, the king of Aram, goes into the temple of Rimmon to bow in worship while he is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord pardon your servant in this matter." So he said to him, "Go in peace." After Naaman had traveled a short distance from Elisha, Gehazi, the attendant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, "My master has let this Aramean Naaman off lightly by not accepting from him what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him." So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw someone running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and asked, "Is everything all right?" Gehazi said, "It's all right. My master has sent me to say, I have just now discovered that two young men from the sons of the prophets have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please, give them 75 pounds of silver and 2 sets of clothing." But Naaman insisted, "Please, accept 150 pounds. He urged Gehazi, and then packed 150 pounds of silver in 2 bags with 2 sets of clothing. Naaman gave them to 2 of his attendants, who carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the gifts from them and deposited them in the house. Then he dismissed the men, and they left. Gehazi came and stood by his master. "Where did you go, Gehazi?" Elisha asked him. He replied, "Your servant didn't go anywhere." "And my heart didn't go when the man got down from his chariot to meet you," Elisha said. "Is this a time to accept silver and clothing, olive orchards and vineyards, flocks and herds, and male and female slaves? Therefore, Naaman's skin disease will cling to you and your descendants forever." So Gehazi went out from his presence, diseased, resembling snow. The sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "Please notice that the place where we live under your supervision is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, where we can each get a log and build ourselves a place to live there." "Go," he said. Then one said, "Please come with your servants." "I'll come," he answered. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, "Oh, my master, it was borrowed!" Then the man of God asked, Where did it fall? When he showed him the place, the man of God cut a piece of wood, threw it there, and made the iron float. Then he said, "Pick it up." So he reached out and took it. When the king of Aram was waging war against Israel, he conferred with his servants. "My camp will be at such and such a place." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Be careful passing by this place, for the Arameans are going down there." Consequently, the king of Israel sent word to the place the man of God had told him about. The man of God repeatedly warned the king so the king would be on his guard. The king of Aram was enraged because of this matter, and he called his servants and demanded of them, "Tell me, which one of us is for the king of Israel?" One of his servants said, "No one, my lord the king. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in your bedroom." So the king said, "Go and see where he is, so I can send men to capture him." When he was told, "Elisha is in Dothan," he sent horses, chariots, and a massive army there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, he discovered an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. So he asked Elisha, "Oh, my master, what are we to do?" Elisha said, "Don't be afraid, for those who are with us outnumber those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, please open his eyes and let him see." So the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When the Arameans came against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Please, strike this nation with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, according to Elisha's word. Then Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. When they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "Lord, open these men's eyes and let them see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw that they were in the middle of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "Should I kill them? Should I kill them, my father?" Elisha replied, "Don't kill them. Do you kill those you have captured with your sword or your bow? Set food and water in front of them, so they can eat and drink and go to their master." So he prepared a big feast for them. When they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. The Aramean raiders did not come into Israel's land again. Sometime later, King Ben-Hadad of Aram brought all his military units together and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. So there was a severe famine in Samaria, and they continued the siege against it until a donkey's head sold for 34 ounces of silver and a cup of dove's dung sold for 2 ounces of silver. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, "My lord the king, help!" He answered, "If the Lord doesn't help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor or the wine press?" Then the king asked her, "What's the matter?" She said, "This woman said to me, 'Give up your son, and we will eat him today. Then we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her the next day, 'Give up your son, and we will eat him.' But she has hidden her son." When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his clothes. Then, as he was passing by on the wall, the people saw that there was sackcloth under his clothes next to his skin. He announced, "May God punish me and do so severely if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today." Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. The king sent a man ahead of him, but before the messengers got to him, Elisha said to the elders, "Do you see how this murderer has sent someone to remove my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door to keep him out. Isn't the sound of his master's feet behind him?" While Elisha was still speaking with them, the messenger came down to him. Then he said, "This disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Elisha replied, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow at Samaria's gate, 6 quarts of fine flour will sell for 1/2 ounce of silver, and 12 quarts of barley will sell for 1/2 ounce of silver." Then the captain, the king's right-hand man, responded to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord were to make windows in heaven, could this really happen?" Elisha announced, "You will in fact see it with your own eyes, but you won't eat any of it." Now, 4 men with a skin disease were at the entrance to the city gate. They said to each other, "Why just sit here until we die? If we say, 'Let's go into the city,' we will die there because the famine is in the city. But if we sit here, we will also die. So now, come on, let's surrender to the Aramaeans' camp. If they let us live, we will live. If they kill us, we will die." So the diseased men got up at twilight to go to the Aramaeans' camp. When they came to the camp's edge, they discovered that no one was there, for the Lord had caused the Aramaean camp to hear the sound of chariots, horses, and a large army. The Arameans had said to each other, "The king of Israel must have hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to attack us." So they got up and fled at twilight, abandoning their tents, horses, and donkeys. The camp was intact, and they had fled for their lives. When these diseased men came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent to eat and drink. Then they picked up the silver, gold, and clothing and went off and hid them. They came back and entered another tent, picked things up, and hid them. Then they said to each other, "We are not doing what is right. Today is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until morning light, our punishment will catch up with us. So let's go tell the king's household." The diseased men came and called to the city's gatekeepers and told them, "We went to the Aramaean camp and no one was there. No human sounds. There was nothing but tethered horses and donkeys and the tents were intact. The gatekeepers called out, and the news was reported to the king's household. So the king got up in the night and said to his servants, "Let me tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we are starving, so they have left the camp to hide in the open country, thinking, 'When they come out of the city, we will take them alive and go into the city.'" But one of his servants responded, "Please, let messengers take 5 of the horses that are left in the city. Their fate is like the entire Israelite community who will die. So let's send them and see." The messengers took 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent them after the Aramean army, saying, "Go and see." So they followed them as far as the Jordan. They saw that the whole way was littered with clothes and equipment the Arameans had thrown off in their haste. The messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the Aramean camp. It was then that 6 quarts of fine flour sold for 1/2 ounce of silver, and 12 quarts of barley sold for 1/2 ounce of silver, according to the word of the Lord. The king had appointed the captain, his right-hand man, to be in charge of the city gate. But the people trampled him in the gate. He died, just as the man of God had predicted when the king had come to him. When the man of God had said to the king, "About this time tomorrow, 12 quarts of barley will sell for 1/2 ounce of silver, and 6 quarts of fine flour will sell for 1/2 ounce of silver at Samaria's gate," this captain had answered the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord were to make windows in heaven, could this really happen?" Elisha had said, "You will in fact see it with your own eyes, but you won't eat any of it." This is what happened to him. The people trampled him in the city gate, and he died. Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awe-inspiring name. He is holy. The mighty King loves justice. You have established fairness. You have administered justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow in worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those calling on his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in a pillar of cloud. They kept his decrees and the statutes he gave them. Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their sinful actions. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow in worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy. Based on the feedback I'm getting, it seems like there are a lot of people who are enjoying Commuter Bible and benefiting from it, which begs the question, are there people out there who would benefit from Commuter Bible who haven't heard about it yet? Listen, advertising is expensive, but word of mouth costs just a few minutes of your time. So if you enjoy this podcast, help me spread the word by telling friends and family about Commuter Bible. Who do you know that might get more out of time in the Word through this podcast? Well, today's episode was narrated and orchestrated by me, John Ross, and co-produced by Eric Williamson and the Christian Standard Bible. Thanks for listening, and remember, happy is the one whose delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night.